All right, so every professional or real podcast is supposed to have a theme song, but I don't actually know how to play any music, and I wasn't going to pay anyone to do it, so...
Right. Okay.
I'm Jonathan Hamilton.
I'm Jim Martin, and obviously we're not experts.
We're no experts. We're definitely no experts at podcast intros. Welcome to We're No Experts, a podcast that I like to describe as an uninformed search for truth. But what does that actually mean?
Well, for me, it means that we're going to be tackling not topical, like topics that you're going to find in the news per se, but we're going to just tackle things that we've thought about. But without really researching them, if I have an idea and I say, hey, you know what, let's talk about that. You know, I might clue you in on it in advance, but the idea being that we're not going to actually look up answers or get other people's opinions, because a lot of these kind of topics don't necessarily have answers. They're very subjective kind of ideas.
Yeah, things where there's not necessarily an authority that you can appeal to, right?
Right, exactly.
The sorts of things even that I'm certainly not interested in talking about anything that I'm genuinely good at or that I genuinely know a lot about, because half the fun is bullshitting, right?
Right. And for our listeners, this idea came about because, well, we've been doing this for a while, right? I mean, just on our own time. It just so happened that, we kind of do this on our own anyway. We sit around and kind of shoot the shit. And it's generally about these kind of weird topics that aren't really, what's in the news. Or they're kind of like...
Important.
Yeah. or adjacent to what it is. Like... You know, we might not be talking about the most relevant thing that, again, is on the nightly news or is you're happen to be reading about online, but that whatever that topic is might spark another idea, and we go off on a tangent about that.
Yeah, do expect a lot of tangents. Do expect a lot of asides. Do expect a lot of ticks and quirks. A real habit of inserting song lyrics and completing sentences and that sort of fun stuff that I'm sure is obnoxious at first, but I promise it'll grow on you, or at least I hope it does. So, without further ado,
I was gonna say the same.
the topic for this first episode is something that I know that you've been very curious about ever since I put it on the list. Dog thoughts.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so, real quick before we get into that, yeah, I'm very curious about what the hell you're talking about. But also, it's not always the type of thing where I'm going in blind here, right? This is improv for me. Jonathan knows what he's talking about here. He has an idea that's this thing called dog thoughts that he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
But he didn't even clue me in on what that is, because I guess it was going to give too much away. Normally, I think we've at least, you know, had a little bit of a conversation, but not enough. We're saving it more like for the podcast, the recording here.
Yeah.
But again, haven't done any research where it's going to sway our opinions.
That's right.
And until afterwards, I will do afterwards.
Yeah. And there's no research even for this, right? Cause this is something that is like, original research.
Yeah. So what is it?
Right. So, you're going to have to, take a walk with me here. So, I'm in my 30s, and one thing that I like to remind people of when they say shit like act your age is the fact that I'm not, 36 internally, like in my mind. I'm 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old all the way up to 36. Everyone's like that. You have these, stages of development that have shaped you since the beginning of your life, right? And sometimes you have a thought that is informed by your experience as a 14-year-old, or, something fundamental happened to you at a certain age. And I think that, that reverberates throughout your life. And maybe you think differently about things as you experience other things as you get older, and maybe a 14-year-old thought becomes a 28-year-old thought or whatever the hell, right? But I think the same thing happens in terms of, it's not necessarily that you have a human mind only. You also have a mind that's been influenced by millions of years of evolutionary pressure from your, you know, distant ancestors on the, you know, evolutionary tree, right? So it's not just that you have human thoughts. You also have ape thoughts. You also have dog thoughts. You also have fish thoughts. And it's not that you're sitting around having the instincts of an animal necessarily, but it's just that your brain is capable of operating at a level that doesn't necessarily need to rise to like enlightened human intelligence. Okay? Sometimes you're just hungry and you're going to eat the first thing you see. Sometimes you're just scared and you don't know why. Stuff like that I call dog thoughts. It's when your mind is in this mode of not putting a lot of thought into things, not really, you know, examining why you're feeling a certain way or being mindful about what's going on, just sort of, you know, moving along in a lower gear, so to speak. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, I'm on board.
So I use dog thoughts pejoratively a lot. There are people who I think mostly just have dog thoughts like 90% of the time, any given day, they're probably having a dog thought. And when there's someone, I don't want to talk about work necessarily, but when there's someone who is in a position that I'm depending on them to do something the right way, and they do something that I don't understand, it's helpful for me personally to say they must have been having dog thoughts. Like, this is a thinking and feeling human being who's capable of more. They're just not in that mode.
Do you generally know that for sure? That, or I get that you're trying to give somebody the benefit of the doubt.
That's
or
right.
At least that's what it sounds
like. Yeah, I have a framework for generating benefit of the doubt, basically.
But at some point, do they prove themselves just not capable? And you're like, okay, you know what? It's not dog thoughts after all. You weren't just having one of those moments. Turns out you're just kind of a moron.
Well, I think what's interesting is that I think you could be enough of a moron that you're just a very smart dog. And that's cool. Like, I like dogs. I like smart dogs, right? But it does kind of shape...
Smart dogs are different than dumb people.
Yeah, I guess. But that's a whole other angle.
Smart dogs.
Yeah, well, I did say that I use it kind of pejoratively. But the idea is that, you know, I can give people a pass because I know... And it doesn't have to be dog thoughts. It could be that they're having toddler thoughts.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
What I mean?
I get you.
So, like, you know, it's fine. I don't expect everyone to be firing on all cylinders every hour of the day or in every situation, especially in unfamiliar situations, because I think we have a tendency mentally to fall back on instinct, you know, and copy behaviors that we see in other people rather than reason about things for ourselves for every little thing. There's plenty of times I've just gone along with the crowd because... if you do a cost-benefit analysis, like, it's easier and probably safer, right? But yeah, so do I think some people are just morons? Maybe. But I think for me, it feels healthier to think of it in terms of they're just expressing this sort of, I don't want to say lower, but like more basic mindset. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean that I don't get annoyed by it. But like you said, there is a difference between a dumb person and a smart dog, but it's not much of a difference, I guess. And if I can feel a little bit more goodwill towards someone thinking of them, this sounds really bad. Jesus, we're going to have to cut all of this, aren't we? But if I can generate a little more goodwill.
No editing.
Right? No editing this episode.
No editing ever.
Okay, fine. No filter. Hashtag no filter. But if I can feel a little bit more compassion and goodwill for someone by thinking of them in terms of they are temporarily saddled with the brain of a dog, that's a lot easier on me, and it turns out better for them, I have to think.
Yeah, right? And we've all been there, right? Like, you're just having a bad day, but I get it. You have this other, you know, term you're using for it, and I like the idea of where it's coming from. I even like the idea that a lot of times in life, especially in work, you know, I try to rise above dog thoughts, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know, yep. I want to think things through before I say them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody addresses me and asks a question, I don't want to just, you know, spread out the first thing that comes to mind, I want to give it a thought for a second and then give a little bit of an answer. But we don't always do that, right? So at some point you train yourself or condition yourself to try to be, to rise above that, to be a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
However, a lot of times it's fun to not overanalyze shit, right? Like I actually, in many points of my life, I think I strive for dog thoughts because they can be a little bit more fun. Yep. Now, maybe not at work, but at home, or, you know, I'll go to a concert and there's two ways you can look at that, right? Sometimes, you know, it'll be like more of a sit down quiet show, classical music, something like that, right? And you try to concentrate on what they're doing, what they're playing, what key they're playing in, you know, pick up on things, right? That's fun, right? That's kind of trying to elevate yourself and really pay attention, learn from that experience. It's also fun to just sit back and close your eyes and enjoy it, or, you know what I mean? And not overthink it.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, retreat back to that, those dog thoughts, or that look like more of an adolescent type of mindset.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm not overanalyzing this situation. I'm just enjoying it for what it is.
Right. I think it's a skill, really, right? Because you hear about the importance of meditating and clearing your mind of distractions and anxieties and things like that. And, you know, just because a dog thought is lower, it doesn't mean that it's worse, and it doesn't mean that it's easy to have. You know, you really do have to sort of let go a little bit and tap into something that, well, I don't know, unless you just have dog thoughts all the time, maybe it's easy for you. If you're listening to this and you have dog, or you suspect you have dog thoughts all the time, or maybe more often than other people, write in, please. Email us at mailbag@noexpertspodcast, or tweet at us at noexpertspod, because I definitely want to hear from you. And odds are you're a very good boy.
Post your comments down below.
Oh, yeah. I guess we're going to have a blog? Yeah, sure.
Look out for that one. If you can't figure it out.
Don't worry
about it.
Yeah, get your master to help. bark twice.
I think, you know, what's funny, and maybe you haven't even taken it this far, is that, but when you say that, one of the things I think of, again, is dogs tend to live very in the moment, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the abilities that we have to analyze things and for foresight to kind of think through where is this going to lead me to, right?
Yeah.
They just react, right? They're not thinking, okay, if I run after this squirrel and there's a car coming down the road, is this going to be a problem? Things like that, right?
Yeah.
Humans generally have those things. We tend to not just, you know, go back to our base instincts and just live in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So much. And so sometimes, though, it is nice to be able to live in the moment. So I think while sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, right? From what I'm gathering here from the idea of dog thoughts, I know a lot of times, like you said, maybe in work and stuff, you don't want people to live in the moment, you know?
Sure.
Let's hopefully think things through, and what's the outcome going to be if you were to deliver this fix or something? I don't know. We all do kind of different things. But anyway, yeah, I do like the idea, though, of you know, we can learn, I think, from that to maybe try to live a little bit more in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? Like a dog. But you're right. That's hard. That trained yourself. It's almost not human-like anymore, right, to do that. I guess at one time, maybe, you know, like you said, our ancestors, like, you know, Neanderthal man, maybe lived a little bit more in the moment. But anymore, I find myself trying to tell myself I have to do that because I'm thinking about something I need to do later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I'm not even enjoying what's going on around me right at this moment.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to be doing that more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So maybe there's a little positive aspect to dog thoughts from that regard. But you have to be able to control it, though, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of people who have dog thoughts, like, generally can't break out of the cycle of having dog thoughts. I mean, so when I've said, like, if I express frustration by saying, oh, that son of a bitch has nothing but dog thoughts or whatever, although I don't think I say it quite like that. I think I just say dog thoughts as a shorthand, you know? like, I'm thinking that that's their default operating mode. You know, there's no foresight. There's no sympathy. There's no, I don't know, like anticipation of consequences. There's no, you know, concern for how things are going to turn out when there maybe should be. You know, I think some people it just comes more naturally to them than others. It's got to be the case, right? Like, I don't know. Everything can become a habit. I think you eventually, if you try to have dog thoughts often enough, or if you just don't bother trying to have human thoughts often enough, you're going to get into that dog thought mode. Those, you know, that dog brainwave, if you will.
Yeah, I kind of think that what you're doing is trying to be nice to people that are generally don't think things through well enough.
Well, I guess I framed it that way, but I can tell you that the term came about out of like sheer frustration, and I needed like a poetic way to convey the idea. You can't just call somebody a dumb motherfucker all the time. You know what I mean? Like, and if you say idiot and moron and whatnot, like, those things lose their teeth and they don't actually describe what you're talking about a lot of the time. Most people aren't really stupid. They're just careless, you know?
I don't know. That could go pretty far. I don't know. No, to be honest, dealing with a lot of people. So here's a good one, right? I think dog thoughts probably come into play when driving a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Right. So a lot of people tend to, again, just react in the moment, right? Yeah. And people get that temper going, you know, they get cut off and then your reaction is to what? Speed up, cut them off.
Like, honk your horn.
Right.
Honk which your is horn, basically
flip,
barking.
Flip them the finger. Yeah. I don't know. Right. Like what? Like, these are the things people do. And I think that it's not really good, you know, like, so I'll often say, and this came from riding a motorcycle for years, I'd rather have that guy, I'm glad that guy cut me off, because I'd rather have him ahead of me than behind me, because I have a little bit more control of the situation. If somebody's, you know, riding your ass, really, what can you do? Slow down a little bit so you have more braking room between you and the guy ahead of you. You know, you can definitely do that, but that's not going to make that guy happy. He's just going to think you're fucking with him.
Yeah.
But really, you're not. You're being a good driver, right? Because if you're riding my ass, I need more room to brake now, because I'm probably not going to jam on my brakes as hard, because you're more likely to rear end me. So I'm going to brake softer if the guy ahead of me brakes. Therefore, I probably need to leave a little bit more room. But if you just pass on the right and you cut me off, whatever, I can just lay off a little bit and give more room. Mm-hmm. And assuming the next guy behind me isn't going to ride my ass too, then we're all good, right? I'd rather have you ahead of me. It gives me a little bit more control than if you're behind me. Well, I don't think people think that way, though. I think most people, again, aren't looking two steps ahead, right? How often are you just driving down the road and there's a car coming from a different road, stop sign, not a light, and they pull out. And they pull out kind of in front of you. And you have to brake, not maybe hard, not like it's going to cause an accident, but you have to pay attention, right? And you brake. And you're kind of like, this happens to me in the morning all the time. I'm on back roads and there's not a lot of lights or even traffic for several miles until I get to like a main road, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I kind of think, and I look in my rearview mirror, there's nobody behind me. Why did you couldn't wait 2 seconds to bypass and then pull out?
It would have been better for both of us.
Right. There's no one. It's not like, I get it if it's a busy time of day and you have to pull out because it's the only opening you're going to get. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. That's your only chance. You're never going to see a bigger opening than that one. So you kind of cut me off a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. But people do it all the time, man. Like, I just think they're not thinking that far ahead. So there you go. In my mind, that's what I'm going to equate that to dog thoughts, right?
Yeah, there have to be situations where you lapse into dog thoughts more frequently than others. Driving's probably one of them. Something where, you know, your senses are engaged and your actions are important. And your actions are arguably more important than your ability to plan. But I think the cool thing about, if you look at the world through this dog thoughts framework, or this lens, I should say, when you pick out people who are having dog thoughts, you can engage your human thoughts and run circles around them, you know? Like, because you know where they're coming from, how they're approaching the situation, what their goals are, and you know that you can think, you know, moves ahead of them. It doesn't make you this, like, mastermind genius necessarily, but it definitely gives you a leg up on someone who's maybe not putting that much thought into it.
Pun intended.
I guess. Pun was absolutely intended.
Yeah. Nice. But I think it goes back to, am I just noticing that people, is it the bad drivers that are frustrating me? Or is there more of them? Does it just feel like there's more of them because you don't notice the other good drivers? Does everybody just think they're a good driver? Well, yeah. I could possibly just be a shitty driver and I just think I'm a good driver.
I think about that a lot. I like to think that I'm a safe driver, and I've certainly been criticized for maybe not driving as quickly as other people. I think the best kind of driver is a driver that you don't notice because you don't have to. You know, they're not in your way. You're not in theirs. They're not taking unnecessary risks. Hopefully they're driving as little as possible. You know what I mean?
But you said you think the majority of people aren't really dumb and they just have
dog thoughts. And certain activities
I guess
are
what I was getting at is I think driving maybe is an example that maybe a lot of people have dog thoughts 100% of the time, and that just doesn't make a dog thoughts anymore. That just means they're dumb.
Well, but maybe they're just having dog thoughts 100% of the time that they're driving. Okay, so here's the topic.
Hey, driving's hard. I mean, let's face it.
Like, yeah.
Green, red, what do you do?
But they, well, especially if you're colorblind, like dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The top light, the bottom light. What do you, oh, man, that's confusing.
So,
octagons with the word stop written in it. I can't tell. Is it red? Is that a green octagon?
There's really,
does it say go?
Who does a green octagon?
That's what I mean. Like, it's not hard to figure it out, right?
Ah, I see. So what other, besides driving, what are some other, like, dog thought heavy activities do you think? It's definitely ordering at the drive-thru, I think, is one. But maybe that goes into driving. Ordering off.
Anything that is involved with being inside of a car, huh?
Or a fast food restaurant. Yeah, ordering off the menu at fast food is a definite dog thought situation for a lot of people, I think.
Self-checkout lines at the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
I hate
that. Why can't people figure that shit out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not complicated.
Do you know,
why do you get in the fucking self-checkout line if you, like, if you have a, well, I buy a lot of produce, right? I mean, I eat a lot of produce.
Sure.
If I'm at the grocery store and I just have a couple things and it's not produce heavy, or if it's just one or two items that are produce.
Yeah.
And I do know how to work the damn self-checkout, right? Like, the produce generally doesn't have a barcode. You key it in, you put it on the thing, it might weigh it. You might sometimes enter the quantity, whatever. It still takes longer, and I don't want to be that guy that holds it up. And it's just easier for me to go through, if I have a lot of produce, through one of the lines where there is a cashier. So, yeah, I just take that into consideration. I'm planning ahead. Like, hey, look, guess what? I have a lot of produce in my cart. I better get in one of the lines with the cashiers. I'm saving other people. I'm not hogging one of the self-checkout lines. And it's going to be easier on me, so I don't have to key in each one of these individually. But if I just got, even if I got a lot of stuff in my cart, but it's, you know, like some canned stuff or whatever, and a couple of frozen things or whatnot, and, you know, barcode easy. Yeah, what? Or I'll go to, like, Home Depot or something, and it'll be dead, and they'll ask, like, I'll go straight towards the self-checkout line, and I got two things in my hand, right?
Yeah.
There's a fucking light bulb and an air filter. And they'll be like, oh, look, why don't you go over here? This person's not helping anybody. And sometimes I just go along with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking. I don't want them to decide they don't need to hire a cashier or put somebody out of a job, right? But ultimately, it's like, no, you know what? I can just go through this line. It's only going to take me 2 seconds. I'm going to quickly swipe both these barcodes, put in my credit card. I'm not even going to grab a damn bag. I'm going to wait for the receipt, and I'm just going to walk out the door. Like, I could think I can do it faster, and I don't have to interact with anybody. So that's kind of nice. But yet, people seem to struggle with this thing. Am I overthinking the damn self-checkout line?
I don't know. I don't have any luck with the self-checkout line. In fact, my wife has a rule that when we go to ring up items at the self-checkout, I'm not allowed to help bag. Because for some reason, when I hit the bag and try to put things in the bag and whatnot, the system always, like, winds up yelling at us. You know what I mean? Like, return the item to the scanning area, that kind of thing. I don't know what it is. I just have bad luck with those machines. I will say that, you know, I've seen people struggle with it, but it's funny you should say that you think you're better off doing self-checkout with a lot of produce, because in my experience...
No, I don't. I think you're better off. The opposite.
Oh, well, I must not have been paying attention.
Yeah, no, you should go to the cashier if you have a lot of produce.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because the self-checkout with produce is a pain in the ass.
No, but I think it's actually better at the self-checkout a lot of the time, because in my experience, the cashiers ringing you up don't recognize a lot of the produce if you're buying anything other than spinach and lettuce and tomatoes. Like, they don't necessarily know what chard is, or they don't know what, you know, if you get, like, some ginger. Maybe that's not a good example. But, you know, they can't tell the difference between, like, parsley and cilantro.
Ginger's a good example in the sense that most of the things, like, if you're buying a bell pepper is pretty recognizable, but it generally has a sticker on it. And while I feel like the barcode, if it has one, doesn't work, then you just key in the number. Whereas if, yeah, but don't have a sticker and you got to look that fucking thing up, that's a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah.
Whereas ginger is not going to have a sticker on it.
Yeah.
It's just going to, or a barcode or anything.
Yeah.
You're going to have to look that up. But yeah, ginger is pretty recognizable. So,
but I think working as a cashier is, and having worked in a grocery store before, I'm not really talking out of my ass on this one.
Piggly Wiggly?
No.
That's a good guess.
It was a small regional southern grocery store, though. Food King?
Oh.
Yeah, great name, right? Not as good as Piggly Wiggly, but I think that's the kind of job that can easily be performed with nothing but dog thoughts, really. Like, you know, you're mopping, you're stocking, you're blocking, you're, you know, bagging things, you're taking stuff out of people's car, you're sweeping the parking lot. None of it's hard.
No, but maybe if you were to use more than dog thoughts, you could provide superior customer service.
Yeah, maybe.
And either, you know, I don't know, make customers happier, or even get that promotion or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or I guess maybe you just don't give a shit because, you know what, like, you're just fine.
I'm 15 years old working at the supermarket.
Yeah,
I was the definition of not giving a shit.
Yeah. That's fair.
It's nothing but dog thoughts, and the worst part of that is you've got at best 15 year old thoughts, and probably not most of the time.
Yeah, that's a good point. We haven't really gone into that. Like, I get when you're saying dog thoughts. Yeah, you in your little flip notes about what dog thoughts are, also infant thoughts, toddler thoughts, teenager thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny because I still laugh at penis jokes.
Oh, how could you not?
Yeah, you know, definitely. And, you know, even more so than that, things that I laughed at when I was 5, I laugh at now. But as an adult, like, yeah, I don't do that at the office. If somebody says butt, I don't just start laughing. But, you know, part of me inside wants to.
Yeah, sure. Know?
Because, right. Because that's my 5-year-old thought.
Yeah.
And I'll hopefully always have that. Man, when I don't have that, I'm in for trouble. Right? Like, just give up on life.
That's working. You know, the older that I get, people around me refer to themselves as old when they're my peers or even younger than I am. I don't understand it at all, because they say you're only as old as you feel, right? Well, it's not even about how you feel. It's about what level of thought you choose to engage with, I think. And I think as long as you are open to new ideas and you're capable of keeping in touch with the way that your younger self would have experienced something, you're not really going to get old mentally. Like, there's plenty of old-timers who are sharp as a tack, and I think that's their secret, man. You think, I guarantee you, Stan Lee's laughing in his office when someone says butt on the internet, right?
Yeah, I hope so. He seems like, and good point, man, because Stan Lee is a guy, like, I don't know how, he's in his 90s now.
95.
Right? Yeah. That's amazing. Because if you see an interview with him recently or anything, he just seems just so with it. Mm-hmm. I want to be... If I can be Stan Lee, not like, you know, rich and having invented Spider-Man, but if I can just be as with it as he is when I'm 95, yeah, I'll be good to go. Whereas, you know, I don't want to be like some other 95-year-olds ride. My 39-year-old self looks at and says, I'd rather be dead.
By the way, if Stan Lee or Steve Ditko is listening, please write in. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, don't post your comment down below. Seriously, Tweet us, email us, use the web. Find us at our legitimate places.
All right, so piggybacking on dog thoughts, one of the things that we want to do on the show is take an idiom that we've encountered or even use on a regular basis and really interrogate the etymology of that idiom and its meaning without necessarily actually researching it. And so I think for this episode, we're going to do something that I find myself saying a lot, a dog's age. You're familiar with a dog's age, right?
I don't say it a lot. I'm trying to think of if I've heard you say it a lot. I definitely don't say it a lot, but I'm certainly familiar with the idiom a dog's age.
All right, so if you're not familiar with a dog's age...
The way I would use it is if you haven't done something in a long time.
Yeah.
Or you haven't had something in a long time or seen something. You know, I haven't had one of these in a dog's age, or I haven't heard that in a dog's age.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? That's kind of how I would expect that idiom to be used.
Yeah. And in my usage specifically, I tend to say it when I'm surprised at how long it's been. Like, if it's longer than you might expect, oh, I haven't heard that song in a dog's age. You know, like you're suddenly reflecting on the passage of time, you know. How long would you say a dog's age is?
7 years per one?
Well, no, that's... but when you describe...
Is that not right? Well, it depends on the breed.
Well, okay,
big dogs are more like 9 or 10 years
per one. But I mean in terms of the usage of the idiom.
No, I knew that. Oh, wow. But it's going to depend, right? Like, so the one you just used, I haven't heard that song in a dog's age. I mean, I don't know. I guess if you haven't heard that song in 10 years, that's still a dog's age.
Yeah.
But if you haven't heard it in 20 years, that's still a dog's age, too. If you haven't heard that song in a few weeks, that ain't a dog's age.
Right.
So I don't
right.
have an exact.
It's got to be a certain minimum, though. Yeah. Like, what's the lower end of a dog's natural lifespan? And then what's the upper end of a dog's natural lifespan? Right. I guess probably I wouldn't say a dog's age for anything less than 10 years. And I probably wouldn't say in a dog's age for anything greater than 20.
But isn't that just based on feel? Like sometimes you're like, man, yeah. I haven't heard that in a dog's age.
Yeah.
In reality, you don't know how long it's been since you've heard it. You probably heard that thing. You probably heard that song 5 years ago.
Yeah, but
5 years ago feels like a long time.
But sometimes. if it was 5 years, I'm more likely to say in a minute or in a hot minute.
Yeah. Do you think so, though? Do you really, like, I don't think things through that well when I say it.
I wouldn't say I'm thinking it through. It's kind of, I don't know, automatic?
Yeah, is it?
Reflexive? I don't know. But I spend, I don't know, maybe this is too much to get into. I think we're coming to the end of an acceptable episode length here. But I do spend a lot of time, maybe more than other people, thinking about the language that I use and how I use it, and not just in terms of like what am I going to say next, but like reflecting on conversations I've had or things I've said long after I've said them.
So saying a dog's age isn't a dog thought.
That's correct.
Yeah, wow.
That's correct.
Where do you think it came from?
Well, I think
like what who's the first person to say, and not specifically, you don't have to say Mark Twain.
Sure,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Winston Churchill, actually.
Yeah. But, like, when did it become popular? Is this something that carried... Is it an American saying? Did it come from Europe? Who started saying it in a dog's age?
Well, I think it's probably... It's definitely post-domestication of the dog. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
and,
almost certainly.
And it has to have been a result of people being around dogs and used to them and having dogs and knowing how long, you know, their dogs lived. But I will say that there's been plenty of times I've said it that people haven't understood what the hell I mean by it.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't feel like a recent thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, I don't know, a saying that's come into popularity in the last 50 years.
Yeah. You know? If you pressed me on it, I'd say that it's probably from Britain, right? Because I think it's probably essentially English. There's probably equivalent idioms in other languages.
I think it's almost certainly, yeah, British. Maybe it's a little newer than that, and it's actually specifically a U.S. saying. Maybe, but I doubt people in other from other cultures, non-European cultures, even would know what the hell you're talking about.
I guarantee you, like, Chinese people know how long a dog's age is. They've had pet dogs forever, man.
You think so? I don't know. So we do have, and I don't want to get into people's names or anything, but you do have somebody you could test that on that you happen to, I feel like you probably know who I'm talking about. This is radio for two here. So sorry, it's boring, but let's take this and follow up on it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. You can tweet out the results of that later, but maybe tomorrow if you get the opportunity, why don't you ask the person that I'm thinking of? This person is from India. To give our listeners a little bit of an idea here, if they're just familiar with the phrase or how they would use a dog's age.
Yeah.
Because so, I kind of would like to know if it is, but I guess we can also just look it up and see if we know or if there is some actual documentation on where it might have originated.
Well, have you ever heard the variant, like, it's been dog's years since I did that that person?
I've not heard that.
Yeah, that's not one that you hear a lot. I've said it, but it's always been like, and maybe we should do an episode about this, but it's always been in a situation where I'm sort of like casting about for something that I can say that isn't a phrase that people automatically digest, something that will, you know, kind of prompt people to think about what I'm saying as an intensifier. You know what I mean? Like, you try to throw something at somebody, they got to do a little work on. You ever do that?
Give an example.
Put you on the spot. The deep sigh. Well, if I wanted... Okay, what's something that, like, most people do on a fairly regular basis, like every few years or something like that? Like, maybe drive a stick shift vehicle.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that, sure. Right? Most people drive automatics. You probably should be driving an automatic. A lot of people, you know, never bother to learn on a stick, right? So I might, if we were in a situation where I had to drive stick, like I needed to take you to the hospital and this was the only, you know, vehicle that was available to me, I might say, man, it's been dog's year since I drove stick. Because I want to make it plain that it's been a long time, and it's like it's been a long enough time that I have grave concerns about it.
Okay.
But maybe the idea there is that I should use a clearer expression.
I think so.
I don't know.
I'm gonna go with yeah.
But I don't personally take any pleasure.
I hope you never have to drive me to the hospital. with a manual transmission, man. I'm gonna call an Uber.
They got ambulances.
Yeah, that shit's expensive.
Yeah, but no Lyft driver is going to want you in the car if you're bleeding. I'm assuming you're bleeding in this scenario.
Bring a garbage bag with me.
All right. I think we're getting to, like I said, the end. It's been like 38 minutes or something like that. What do you think?
You know what? That seems like an acceptable length for an episode.
I like it. So now here at the end, why don't we restate how people can get in touch with us? I definitely want you guys to... You ladies and gentlemen. What's the better...
Listeners.
You listeners, please.
If you're listening to us.
If someone is transcribing it for you, I don't even care. You don't have to listen. Please send in your questions, your comments, your anecdotes. I don't really care. Literally anything. We can probably make content out of it.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't really say that, but if you have an idea and you think, hey, these guys like to talk about random shit, throw it our way, and you know, we'll talk about it. No, not guaranteed, but maybe if it you know piques my interest or ours, then yeah. We're up for ideas. I mean, we've got it. We're always coming up with things on our own, but it's more fun when somebody else comes up with it for you. So yeah, throw some stuff our way, or just comment on what we've been talking about in the current episode or in a past one, and we'll do the same.
Yep, hit us up at mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com or on Twitter @noexpertspod, and check out our website noexpertspodcast.com. I feel like there was something else, but yeah. Thanks for listening, I guess. And
we'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.